Good morning. That's quite a peanut gallery up front there. In sharing of joys or concerns, let me lead off with asking for prayer for Pastor Alan Smith. Mostly everybody here knows Alan, being as if he was called out of here. He is suffering. He's going to have a biopsy done, and it looks like he's going to be fighting with prostate cancer. Now, last thing I heard was they're going to try something sort of experimental with him. If everything tests and checks out all right, they're going to put a seed, they call it, in there, a radioactive seed, and it'll just emit. And that's an overnight procedure, but we need to keep Alan Smith in prayers, cards and letters to go in his direction. I guess you can send him down there, Brownsville Church of the Brethren. Do we have an address for him to send him to the church?
Is there an address on that email that's up there on your...
No, okay. just for the district office. You can send them to Brownsville or call Diane. She'll get the home address too, so we keep Pastor Alan in our minds there. Also, I want to remember at this time a gentleman by the name, of Larry Selzer. Larry Selzer is Mikey, my nephew's grandfather. His time has come. Basically, all they're doing is keeping him comfortable. He's been sick for quite a while. And it's gotten to the point where the fluid in the lungs is built up and there's not much more they can do. And so we need to keep that in mind. That'd be my sister's father-in-law. Just keep them close to your heart, my sister, my nephew there. Other joys or concerns this morning? Yes, we're happy to see that Grammy made it out today. She's back up and being strong. I don't know what in the world got into her, but she's back. Heavenly Father, in this time, let us start with great needs, not the least of which is your children in Haiti, Father. There is going to be a long, hard road ahead of healing. There are those people out there right now that are condemning, mouthing off, they're putting against the country, they're saying things that are hurtful. Let us stop right here and be compassionate and in love for you, Father, by praying for them. Their worries, their loss, their tremendous amount of devastation. Let this be used as that moment to turn back to you. Let this be used as a guiding light, Father, to awake them to the beauty of what you have to offer. Father, I ask that we be in prayer for Pastor Alan as he goes through some of the bumps and bruises that this old body wants to dish out. Let this just be a step along the way, just a momentary procedure, and let us just keep on going forward with it. And also be in prayer for Brother Bob Myers as he is going through tests to determine things in his life also, Father. Let us lift him up. Let us be there for Larry as you're preparing to call him home, Father. Let him go knowing your glory and your riches, and bless and keep the family that is left behind. And let us be in special prayer, Father, because this is not what you laid out for us. No child should have to suffer like this. And so I ask that we stop here for a minute, Father, and put our hearts together in prayer for Matthew, that he would be lifted up, that he would be given a hedge of thorns around him to keep this nasty stuff out, that he would know the covering of you. I pray that somewhere, somehow, somebody gets to him and talks to him about Jesus' eternal love and gives him the strength that's necessary. Thank you for Tom and his healing, Father, as he is starting to recuperate from his illness, from his moment, Father, when the body gave in. We thank you for the strengthening and the continuation of that body. And for neighbors such as Don, who we worry about, who we have seen that you're going to call as well, Father. Again, the same covering for that family, the same lifting. And for the Dingle family, especially for Megan, they have suffered greatly, and yet they continue to fight and struggle. Let them not lose the focus on you. Let them not fall behind, Father. Let our prayers be heard to go to them and lift them up and strengthen them, that we may lift them up strong to walk again, Father. And for Roy, down serving, down doing something that he has dreamed of doing, and a calamity has been fallen him, Father, and yet he is facing it with strength and dignity. As we hear, comfort home first. We ask that you speed relief and peace upon his wife, and that she would be lifted up, and that she would know that when he comes home, he will be there in mind and body as well, whole in spirit. And let him come home and be healed, Father. Let the rest of his journey be safely done, and let him be brought back. And for Leonard, and for that family, let there be an uplifting there. And for the leaders of this country, for the leaders of mine, Father, which are teachers that teach at home, in schools, and in church on Sunday morning, let their words be strong to shape the young minds that listen to them. And Father, let us just stop and also be thankful. We're here. We have a place to go to. We can freely worship you. We're able to set aside the labors and the rigors of the week that have just passed. We're able to set aside our own personal desires and wants and walk through the door rejoicing unto your name, unto Jesus' name. Thank you for giving us this place. And for the blessings that you have bestowed, and for those that which will come, and for those that we're not even aware of that it happened. Father, we ask all these things in your precious Son's name. And we pray of one accord, of one mind, of one voice in the way that he would have us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Run in the shop where her grandfather was working. They said, "Pappy, Pappy, Pappy." And they interrupted him from his work. And he was, "What, what, what?" They said, "Can you make a noise like a bullfrog?" And the grandfather said, "What do you mean?" Another boy said, "Come on, Pappy, make a noise like a bullfrog." And the man had been interrupted from his work and he was getting a little exasperated. He goes, "I don't know what you're talking about." They said, "Pappy, make a noise like a bullfrog." He said, "What are you boys talking about?" They said, "Well, yesterday we went with Grandma to the store. And we heard her while we was in the store talking to some lady. And she said, as soon as that old man croaks, we're going to Florida." ribbit. Let us give with blessing and honor and freedom when the ushers come forward. Open up your Bibles. It's Sunday morning. Keep them open. Look how many tabs I got in there today. We're going everywhere today. Number one, first and foremost, sermon title. Everything's number one. Everything's number one, first and foremost. Let us see what the Proverbs have to say. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to read the first 11 verses of what King Solomon wrote that he said is first and foremost, what he said is number one. Proverbs chapter 3, first 11 verses. I love to hear that sound. My paper crinkling around and Bibles being open and everything. I can't imagine what it must be like in some of them big, huge churches when they open all their Bibles up. It must sound like a rush of wind. Proverbs chapter 3, first verse. "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man." Verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. For the Lord, fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruit of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent His rebuke. Verse 12, because the Lord disciplines those He loves, as a father the son He delights in. Great set of verses. Let us look upon them as we come before the Lord. Let's join our hearts in prayer and ask for Him to guide us here this morning. Heavenly Father, the saying should be said every Sunday morning, let us set aside labor. Let us be about Your work this morning. Let us be about Your uplifting. Let us be about Your message. I pray that this message coming from You, through me, to us, from us, to out into the world. And I pray that we wear it on a tablet around our neck in the week to come to remind us of what You would have us do and what You would have us be. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Now, the other day, I was driving my truck, which is something I love to do because I do it for a living. And I got caught behind this truck, and I happened to look at the truck in front of me, and I had a lot of time to study the back end of this truck because he was going slow and he was holding me up and he wouldn't get out of my way. So I read the back of his truck for a long time. He couldn't seem to figure it out. I could not pass him. But I noticed on the back of his truck was an advertisement for the company for which he was pulling. Big bold letters up on the back of the truck. And underneath of it, it said, "We're number one. Always, always count on us." And I kept looking at the back end of that truck, because as I said, he was holding me up. And finally, he changed lanes, and I went carefully past him. And as I started to move past that truck, I started laughing. Let me tell you about that number one company. Along the side of that long trailer, it said, "The name of the company, we're number one. Call on us for all your transportation needs." And I'm riding past this thing, and I get to the truck itself. And I had to laugh, because my truck is dirty. I've been hauling in out in sand mines. I've got 2 tons of sand laying up on that truck. I have not been happy about it. My truck is filthy, but it looked brand new compared to that. Went by and the fenders was wobbling like this, and the guy had the mirrors held on by tape, and the back end of the truck was painted a couple different colors, and I looked down and I noticed that one of the tires was wobbling, and I looked over and there's a crack in the windshield, and the whole truck just seemed to look over at me and say, "Make him stop. We're not number one. We ought to be number one in line at the salvage yard." And I thought to myself, here's the name of the company on the door. They're number one. First and foremost. It made me start laughing. I took one hard look at that truck and I thought to myself, that truck must have been left over from World War II. But they were number one. So then it got me thinking. I started watching and I started looking around to see what was number one in this world. And boy, let me tell you what I saw. I saw a billboard as I was driving along that said, "We are the number one supplier of hamburgers in this region." Well, I ain't been there, so you ain't number one. I'll give you that stamp of approval. I saw many more trucks going up and down the highway that said, "We're number one." As a matter of fact, one day I looked and I got to giggling, and I'm glad nobody rides with me, because in front of me were 3 trucks and they were all number one. So I got on the radio and I started to say something, and then I thought better of it, put the radio back. I looked around to see what was number one. Almost every trucking company I see now is number one. I'm going to paint on the back of my truck, I tried to be number one, but got run over by number two. I could not believe it. So I started thinking, what else is number one? Have you flipped on the TV lately? Oh man, we sell the number one car. We got the number one furniture. We're the number one stereo sales dealership in the world. Everybody's number one. Everybody's first. One time, I was even asked to give my opinion of what tractor I thought was number one. And I'm telling you, the guys at the show where this young man asked me that question all went, "Oh my golly. Sit down, boy, because you're going to be here for a while. You're going to get an education as to what he thinks is number one." Every time you hear about it, Every time you look, you see number one. Number one, you pick up a set of directions for something. What do? Well, if you read the directions like I do, you read number one. And what does it always say when you get something electronic at the beginning? Number one, whenever you work on this, unplug it. I never do. You get a set of directions on how to cook something. It says, number one, mix the ingredients. Never says, turn on the stove and then start mixing the ingredients, does it? It says, mix the ingredients. Everything starts with number one. My father was teaching me how to drive a truck. I was 7 years old. He had a 1947 and a half Chevrolet flatbed, still has it. I beg him every time I see him for that truck, and all he does is laugh at me. I started driving that truck. He put a block in the back of the seat, a block on the wheel, on the pedal, so I could drive that truck when we hauled firewood. And you double clutch that old girl. And my dad slipped in beside the seat next to me, and he says, number one, don't you never let me catch you in this thing without you in it. You got it, Pop. Everything starts at number one. And yet, every single time you hear somebody say, we need to bring God, number one, back into our lives, everybody tears them apart. What's the very first thing you hear when somebody says, well, you need to put God back in your life? Well, why do I have to have God in everything I do? What, are you one of them Christians? Yes, I am. You don't look like one. Let me go back to church and put on my tie. Every time I turn around, I hear somebody saying, you need to put God back in your life. You need to put Him back out there in the front, in the public view. And we shoot them down. And I say we, because sometimes we're guilty of it, Christians. Sometimes we forget that we're supposed to be bold and say, no, make Him number one. Sometimes you'll hear Christians saying, now let's not get too carried away. You ever hear that statement made by Christians? Let's not get too wound up about it. Don't never tell me that, because that'll just wind me up even tighter. And why is that? He was the greatest number one ever and always will be. Amen?
Amen.
Why do we insist on keeping Him number two? Question I have for you today. Why is that? I'll tell you why it is. Because we, you, me, us, we don't always notice that we're doing it. We get to going along in our world. We get to going along in what we're doing. We get to cruising along and everything's going along nice and easy. And suddenly we start forgetting where God's place is. I'm reminded of a story of a young boy wandered into his father's study and started watching his dad. His dad was a preacher. And he was looking at his dad, and his dad was writing a sermon. And he'd write a little while, and then he'd put his hand to his head and he'd scratch something out. And he'd write a little while again. And then he'd put his hand to his head and he'd scratch something else out. And the little boy stood there for a while. And he finally said, Dad, what are you doing? He says, well, I'm writing my sermon. And the little boy says, well, how do you know what to write, Dad? And his father looks at him and says, because God tells me, son. And the boy looks right back at him and says, well, why do you keep crossing things out? Think about that one for a minute. God tells you, you cross it out. You're number one. Or are you? We need to put Him back front. We need to let Him see, be number one. We don't let Him lead. I know dog. Well, I got a dumb dog right now that's the same way. But my father used to talk about dogs and how we'd go out for a walk with them dogs. And you ever notice what a dog will do? They're a wonderful animal. Until you go walking with them somewhere. Where's the dog going to be? Come on, in front. Ever watch what that old dog does? Gets all the way down the driveway and it turns around and looks back. Are you coming? You got the biscuits. Friends, we don't let Him lead. We get down the driveway like that dog. And suddenly, I turn around and look back. We don't let Him lead. And all too often, and I mean all too often, we find ourselves in serious trouble. You got your Bibles open to Proverbs, so let's go ahead and back up a little bit to Psalm 81. It's right there behind you. Let's read what the psalmist is writing. Psalm 81, verses 11 through 13. Some say it's a holiday hymn, and it celebrates the exodus from Egypt. But there's some pointed things in here. God is talking to Israel in this psalm. The writer is pretending or writing down the thoughts of God to Israel. And he writes in that 11th verse, Psalm 81, he begins to write what God's thinking. And I think it's great because I find myself, now that I'm the father of boys, saying these words all the time. How comes you don't listen to me? 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 Nobody listens to me. I can't even get the dog to listen to me anymore. Psalm 81, verse 11. But my people would not listen to me. Israel would not submit to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own devices. Verse 13. If my people would but listen to me, if Israel would follow my ways, let's keep going. How quickly I would subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes. Listen. Put me first. Put me back out front. Back here. Number one. First and foremost. Don't matter if God's driving that truck that's in front of you, slowing you down there on the highway of life. You need to be. Number one, needs to be back in front. That's a father talking to his children. I told my child the other day, he walked over to the bulldozer I've got sitting down there below the shop. Just happened yesterday. I've told them, don't get wet. Stay dry. We're outside playing. One of them walks over, there's a hard hat laying upside down that has become a rain bucket over the past I don't know how many months. He walks over and he goes, Daddy, look at this. And he picks the hard hat up, and before I can say it, he puts it on. That's not my child. That's hers. I said, why didn't you listen to me, Daddy? I don't know. Now go in the house and get changed. You can laugh all you want, but that's us people. God's up there going, why didn't you listen to me? Why didn't you listen? Go back to Proverbs in the fifth verse. Back up there for a second, because that verse spoke to me so much. It actually spoke to me. I bet there's somebody else up in there. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Amen. Amen. Thank you. I know how to do everything. Boy, I can fix anything in the world. I can show you how to do anything. Heck, I could probably perform surgery if they let me in there for a couple minutes. That's how I think sometimes. And when it all fails, I realize why. Thought I had the world by the tail, as it were. I should have gone back and read the seventh verse. This is a tough one. Do not be wise in your own eyes. I need to write that one down somewhere. Honey, make a note of that verse. Yes, I see you shaking your head. That needs to be on every single mirror in our house just for me. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Don't think you're so smart. Boy, this is a good one for me. No, sir, I never used to think that I was the smartest thing around. I still don't think it. Go ahead, you can laugh quietly. What he's writing there in Proverbs is, if you didn't put me in first place, son, you're going to fail. Period. You're not going to go anywhere. You're not going to see the other end of things. You're going to fail. Lean on your own understanding. You're going to fail. Be wise in your own eyes. You're going to fail. You need to put me in front. And I'm telling you, we need to keep God in front of us above everything. Because if not, how many times do you think you'll fall off the path heading home? There you go. Every time. Amen. And people will look at you from every angle to form the opinion of whether God is in front of you or not. Believe you me, I know. I don't know if I told this story in church. A couple Sundays ago, I was in Sunday school back there. I had to go down to my sister's house and fix a bookcase. And there's an old hardware store not far from her place called Sunset Hardware. It's a hardware store for me. I mean, they got a potbelly stove. They got chairs in there. They got a checkerboard. They got beef jerky for you to sit there and eat. You can drink water. You can get a soda out of the machine. It's a great hardware store. One half of the hardware store's got nothing but work shoes, and the other half's got everything you would ever need to build the Titanic. I love this place. And it's full of old men on Saturday morning sitting in there in their proper clothes. That's right, bib overhauls. And they got their hat on sideways a little bit from where they've been wiping their brows, sitting next to that pot-bellied stove. And they're sitting there talking about everything from the cows that ain't giving milk to what they're going to do to fertilize their yard this year. And that old pickup truck of mine that ain't going to run. And I'm sitting in there looking for parts to fix my sister's bookcase. And I'm listening to it and I'm thinking, oh man, this is a great place. And then I hear them go, yeah, we got a new preacher over at the church. And I tell you, he ain't worth a spit. I turn around to see which one of you it was. So now I'm really listening. And the other fellow sits there and he goes, yeah, we got a new preacher in there now. He's preaching a little better than the other one did. He's preaching from the Word. The other one there, you just couldn't talk to him. You couldn't hear a word he was saying. I didn't understand him. And the other one sitting there, there's about four or five of them. And the other one said, I'm telling you right now, preachers need to always be watched. And I'm standing there going, this is not funny. I got to say something. So I go up to the counter to pay, and they're all sitting there, you know. I turned around, and I leaned on the counter and looked right at them. I said, you want to know what the hardest thing about being a preacher is? And they all looked at me for a minute. I said, it's pleasing everyone. You could have heard a pin hit the carpet in that room. And one guy looks at me and goes, are you a preacher? And I prepared myself. I went, yes, I am. He goes, you don't look like one. I'm going to get a t-shirt or a hat made up that says, yes, I am a preacher. But you get looked at every angle, and they want to know if you're keeping God first. You think them men were keeping God first at that moment? Nope. You want to talk about the cow that won't give milk, tractor that don't cut the grass right, your old pickup truck won't start? That's talking. Keeping God first. And I, myself, am often the one who can take myself by the hand and lead me right off the path, right into trouble. Without keeping God first, I fall to temptation. I allow myself to be out front there, and I do what everybody else does, right? Blame it on the devil. Well, the devil made me do it. You heard the old story about the preacher's wife? She come home from shopping one day, and she had a box there, and the preacher walked in, and he saw the box laying there, and he gathered up the price tag off the box, and he about fell down on the floor right there when he saw $200, and he pulled this fancy-looking red dress out, and he said, good grief, woman. She said, I was walking down the street, and I come upon this dress hanging in the window. And I said, it's a pretty red dress. I'd like to have that. It's $200, but I wanted it. So I went in and tried it on, and I bought it. The devil made me do it. And the preacher looked at her and said, why didn't you tell the devil to get behind you? And she said, I did. And he said, mm-hmm. Looks good from back here, too. Keeping God first. It's hard to do. It's hard to do. Go ahead. You can laugh a little bit more. I said this a while back. Where else do we not have God first? The leadership of this country. Now, I am not allowed to get up here and carry on about government stuff, but I am allowed to be a fruit inspector, right, Ellis? The leadership of this country. I said this a while back, and I mean it. I read that newspaper where the leadership of Washington County said, we'd like to see peace on earth and goodwill toward men in the year 2010. Ha! Where are you at on Sunday morning? Where are you at with your walk? I don't know them personally, but I do know you hear an awful lot. If those leaders of our government would just stop with their own selves for a minute and get back to Christ. And I'm not talking about religion, because we are not a religion, brothers and sisters. We are Christians following Jesus who puts God first. Amen. It was not a religion this country was founded on. It was not a religion that you came to be saved. It was on the blood and teachings of Christ, right? Put Him first. Put Him first. Edward Gibbon, the author of The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, said this, and this is wonderful. Listen carefully. The Roman Empire, first reason, number one, first and foremost, the rapid increase of divorce, the undermining of the dignity and sanctity of the home, which is the basis of human society. Number two, higher and higher taxes, and the spending of public monies for free bread and circuses for the populace. Number three, the mad craze for pleasure. things becoming every year more exciting and more brutal. The building of gigantic armaments when the real enemy was within, the decadence of the people. And number five, the decay of religion. Faith fading into mere form, losing touch with life and becoming impotent to warn and guide the people. Edward Gibbon, follow the Roman Empire. What are we missing today? Sorry I'm shouting, sorry I'm getting wound up, but when I read these things here, becoming impotent to warn and guide the people, hey, that's my job. So I got to shout to get you awake and make sure you realize it. I will. God first. Amen?
Amen?
Sounds familiar, doesn't it? I could be saying a little bit more personal. The fall of Paul Leatherman. Those five reasons right there. Doing everything I could to not be who I'm supposed to be, to do everything to walk away from God, to take Him away from being first. It gets us off gear. And just one other thing that I stumbled across while reading that is a backstory. Alex D. Tocqueville. Did I do that? Ah, whatever. He was a writer in France. I can't do all them words. You tell me what it is later. He said after visiting America in 1831, he said, I sought for the greatness of the United States and her commodious harbors, her ample rivers, her fertile fields and boundless forests. And it was not there. I sought for her in her rich mines, her vast world commerce, her public school systems, her institutions of higher learning. And it was not there. I looked for it in her Democratic Congress and her matchless Constitution, and it was not there. Not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits flame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power. America is great because America is good, and if America ever ceases to be good and follow these teachings, America will cease to be great. Amen. If you ever cease to follow these teachings, you will fall. Your greatness doesn't lie in what you do. It doesn't lie in how you put it forward. It doesn't lie in anything except where you place God. And if you don't place Him in front, you're going to fail. Number one, first and foremost. Let me ask you a question. Are you unhappy? You ever get unhappy? You ever get troubled? You ever feel doubt? You ever get lost? Now, let's see, that happened to me trying to get ready for church. I'm asking you a question. Do you ever feel any of these things? Let me see you say amen.
Amen.
Well, here's the thing. And I'll tell you what. I heard Joyce Meyer say this week, and it was just one more thing that told me I was on the right path of this. She said, you know what? She said, if you are not making God number one and putting Him in the spot where He belongs, then you moved, He didn't. Not number one, you're going to be looking back the whole time. Where'd he go? Am I on the right path? An old country music song. I'm telling you, one of these days I'm going to find the words and lyrics to it. Now maybe even Bud knows it. I have to ask him. There was a great country music song back in the 70s called Nobody Wants to Play Rhythm Guitar Behind Jesus. Anybody remember that song? Oh, for corn's sake, I can't be the only one. I even know the chorus. Nobody wants to play rhythm guitar behind Jesus. Everybody wants to be the leader of the band. All right, well, I got my homework cut out for me. How true is that? Nobody wants to be number two. That's why you see it out there on the highway, the billboards, the television, everywhere you look, number one, number one, number one. Well, right there and then, I found a spot, stopped and prayed, and it started making me think about what we read in Exodus 20. You can jump over there or not, but Exodus 20, the first four verses are very simple. Verse number one, and God spoke all these words. Verse number two, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven or above the earth, beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to a thousand generations of those who love and keep my commandments. You shall have no other gods before me. Put me number one. Amen. I never paid attention to that too awful much. And then I started realizing, I don't put him forward far enough. I've been listening to a book, because I don't get to read like I used to. So I've been listening to a book on Mark. And we come across these words, these teachings in Mark chapter 12 in the 28th verse. And it's a great story. One of the teachers of the law, and you all know this, Mark 12 chapter 28. Maybe you want to follow along. I'll wait for you. Mark 12 chapter 28. I'll wait on you for a minute. Mark 12 verse 28. What did I say? Chapter 28? There's no 28th chapter. Getting a little bit fired up this morning, ain't I? Maybe I ought to take a drink of water. What is it? Page 1575. Mark chapter 12, verse 28. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked them, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as you would yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." Amen. Number one, first and foremost, love the Lord your God. Now, you know how easy it is to put God first? It's real simple. Just constantly thank Him. Before you take a bite of food, say a prayer. Thank you, Father. Always, no matter where you are, what you're doing, stop for a minute and say thank you. You don't have to make it an hour-long production. It doesn't have to be filled with words that you don't understand and I don't understand and people two tables over will never figure out. You just need to bow your head forward and thank Him for giving you this moment, for this food, and the ability to sit there and eat it. Putting God first. Don't matter where you're at. When you eat, if you're in a restaurant, I love it when I see people pray. That just tickles me to no end. But how about when you're in your car and you just grabbed a burger from McDonald's there and you're tearing off down the road and you're about to shove that burger into your face? Nobody's around there to see you. You're looking at that Big Mac and that thing's going, "Eat me!" And you're just about to tear into it. Did you put God first by thanking Him for that hamburger? Putting God first. Starting there, a word of thanks. People are watching you when you're in the restaurant. Don't worry about them. Worry about Him. People are watching you when you're in your car saying a prayer. Don't worry about them. Worry about Him. Put Him first. At the beginning of the day, when your feet hit the floor, let your knees follow, if you can. Some people can't. Say a prayer. Thanks for letting me wake up. Thanks for letting me face the day. Father, give me the strength to go on. At the end of the day, I made it. In the middle of the day, we're almost there, Father. Thank you. Always putting Him first when you're driving to and fro. You drove down to the beach, stop and thank God, letting you get in there safe. You drove home. Thanks for letting me get there safe. You drove up to get groceries in the rain, in rush hour. Thank you, Father. Start putting Him first and look what happens. Start looking at where you get to be. I'm not saying you're not going to be unhappy sometimes or feel trouble or doubt or loss, but you're going to feel less of it and you're going to feel more of what He has to offer. You are lost out there and then you start to realize just what is going on. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 73, starting in the 21st verse, "When my heart was grieved," Psalm 73, verse 21, "when my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by the right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Number one. Right? Number one, right out there in front. Number one. Matthew even said it as much. He said, when you're out there and you're lost, put him out front. 32nd, 33rd verse. Jesus saying these words in Matthew in the 7th chapter, 32nd verse. For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. He's talking about the things of the world that you need. Money, food, clothing, house, property, a car to get you somewhere. God knows you need them. The pagans are running after them. Stop! Put God first and thank Him. Oh, thank you, Father. And then let Him see. Let Him take you to where you go. Let Him lead you on. You want to know how to start by saying, by putting Him first? You know I'm going to say it. You start each week right here, right now. Right in this house on Sunday morning. You know, I heard somebody tell me one time, I don't like somebody saying I need to be in church on Sunday morning. It makes me feel guilty. Really? Well, let me just see how guilty I can make you feel. Why didn't you go to church this Sunday? My day. You've heard me say it. Made me feel guilty. I got to thinking about me. How could I do everything in the world and go through everything all week long and not be here on Sunday morning to get refired? I love steam trains. Everybody knows that in this room. I love them old smoking beasts, and they're not on this earth anymore in the way I would like to see them, but I live like they were and I love them. And there was a guy in the roundhouse, he had one job to do. When an engine came out of the roundhouse, after being rebuilt, after being tore down, after being reset, he had one job to do. That was his job. He got up in them big girls and he kicked open them grates and he lit the fire. And he started her burning so she could go back to work. Friends, that's Sunday morning. Getting refired. You've been tore down all week long. You're here to get rebuilt and refired. That's how putting God first is. Can you imagine starting your week without Sunday morning? Sometimes it's going to happen. You're sick, whatever. But keep Him first. Let Him in. Let Him lead. In Revelations, we're seeing Jesus talk. In the second chapter, in the second verse, He's speaking to the church at Ephesus. And He holds the church at Ephesus close. He writes these words. Jesus says, I know your deeds. John wrote these words from the Isle of Patmos in the second chapter. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. Now listen, you have forsaken your first love, Church at Ephesus. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. Jesus is saying in that point in Revelations to the church at Ephesus, you were a great church, but you fell. You've come back, but don't forget to keep me first. The pain does not have to be there. The sense of loss does not have to be there. The feeling of guilt, all gone, 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 gone. Just by putting God first, Jesus first, in every step you take, in everything you do. And then maybe, just maybe, when you're out there on that highway and that truck slides in front of you and slows you down, maybe you'll know why. I guess I should tell the rest of the story as Paul Harvey would. Had that truck with the big number one on its tailboards not slid over in front of me and put my binders on, so it were to speak, that wonderful man known as a Pennsylvania State Trooper may have had something to say to me. Think about it, friends. God in first place, right? Amen goes here. Let us pray. We don't need to say much, Father. We need to look forward to you. We need to look forward to you and you alone. We need to ask you to constantly be in front and guiding us. We need to ask you to never let go of our hand. We need to not run down the lane without you. We need to walk behind you. Help us this week to put God first. And if we're feeling guilty, we know why. If we're feeling like, oh man, I messed up, we stop and pray. Your grace abounds. Your forgiveness abounds. I pray that we keep you first, Father. I ask that we pray for the leaders of this country, for this county, for this town, for the leadership of this church, for the leadership of each and every one who walks out of here. Because a leader is not always an elected position. A leader is a person who may walk out in the street and somebody who does not know God is going to walk up to them. I pray for their strength. And I ask that the brothers and sisters in here do as well for each and one another. In the week to come, we put you first. Number one, first and foremost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 63. I heard a lot of Bibles going shut. You're missing out. You should probably mark this one down sometimes. Go back and read it if you can. Did I mark it? Uh-oh. I got so many little markings in here. There it is. Psalm 63. I was only going to read a couple verses of it, but it's a short little 11-verse thing. David wrote this psalm when he was in the desert in Judah. He was being pursued by you-know-who, and they was going to kill him. The old king that he was trying to bump out of the way was going to take him down. Saul had said, I'm going to kill that boy. And David wrote this. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you. In a dry and weary land where there is no water, I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods, and with singing lips my mouth will praise you. On my bed I will remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night, because you are my help. I sing in the shadows of your wings. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. They who seek my life will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword, and they will become the food for jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by God's name will praise him, while the mouths of liars will be silenced. All that in your life, put God first. Today, as we sing this last hymn, put God first. You can start up here. Let me come down and pray for you. If a bunch of people come forward, I would ask that other members come up here and help me pray. But don't leave home until you get that situated here in this last hymn.
Please stand. Turn to 596.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus, I